Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That is our title tonight. Let's go to the Word. Let's pray. God, makes the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to Him. Hallelujah. You are my strength and my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Everywhere we go, it just needs to be said that everything we do and say needs to go to the foot of the cross, at the cross. That's what it's about. It's all about the cross. Overview in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In Hebrews 6:12, it says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises, and it doesn't say, but of God. But by faith, Noah and Abraham and many others like them, these all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Hallelujah. Yeah. They never received their promise. They never received their promise. Many of our spiritual fathers died without seeing their promise. Here, you know, we're having tough time. But we wait and we wait and we think when we're doing really good. But you know what? Our spiritual fathers had to wait. In fact, they passed away before they even saw the promise. It took Noah over 100 years to build the ark, not knowing anything about a flood or even rain. God made a covenant with Abraham saying that he was to be a father of many nations, even without him having a son. Living, you know, just him just being 75 years old. I could go on and on. The thing is, we never received the promises before they died. They never received the promises before they died. Yep, but they obeyed. They obeyed God. And that's what faith is. It's believing in something that you don't even see it. When we obey God, we show that we trust Him. It pleases Him. The word trust to me, it means faith and patience. And I was looking up faith and patience in the Old Testament. You know what? It's not there at all. Trust is, and it is also in the New Testament, but it's not as many times as you would think. So A, we walk by faith. In Deuteronomy 32:20, it says, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be, for they are a perverse generation, children in whom there is no faith. Wow. Can you imagine a generation having no faith? I think the generation that's coming up, they're not going to have any faith. You know, they're very impatient. They want everything now. The millenniums want it now. See, there's a people, there's a problem when people do not have faith. See, God's word says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. And we all want to please God, don't we? Don't we all want to please God? I do, I know I do. But it takes faith. In Matthew 6:30, it says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Wow. You see, once you make that commitment to Jesus Christ, you have that faith in him. And it's knowing, you have to know Hosea 4:6, like we had mentioned, like Karen mentioned before this. You have to know. That he will take care of you. You have to trust in him. And trust means faith. And patience. Because trust, there is no time limit. Just like patience. There's no time limit. I have the patience to do something. I have the faith. I'm willing to not see it. But I believe it. And trusting is the same. You see, we need to trust him wholly, totally. He's asking you, so why don't you trust me? I'm going to provide for you. In Matthew 8:26, he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Why were those so fearful? Why were they so fearful? I think it's because they took their eyes off Jesus, knowing that he's the one that gives everything. And they took their eyes off of him because they believed in him. When you believe in someone, don't you trust them? See, God would take care of them. You see, those people, they were afraid. They were walking by sight. All they saw was waves and wind and all of that stuff. They didn't see the calmness of Jesus sitting there. He was just sleeping, and they woke him up. In Matthew 17:20, it says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. See, all you need is faith. Faith as small as a mustard seed. Don't you remember when Pastor Karen, a number of months ago, maybe 6 months ago, when she would put that little dot on her little finger and said, that's all you need is little, so like a little dot. That's all you need is a little dot of mustard. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's all the faith you need. That's what he said. For the impossible. In Mark 5:34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Her desire to be healed, I think it gave her the faith that she needed to be healed. It was her desire. It was her believing that if I just touch his garment, if I just touch him, I will be healed. It was her desire. Her. In Matthew 15:28, then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You see, she was determined and she persevered. That gave her that great faith that she needed. So her daughter was healed. You see, she had that determination. She had that perseverance that she needed because she kept on answering with the right answers. Amazing. Hebrews 11:32. "And that more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions." See, they got faith. They believed in Jesus. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid. Because it was pleasing to God. He was pleasing. He was pleased with each of them. So each of them stood out because they had the faith of God. B, the Word of God. You see, you have to be a believer in the Word of God. You have to know that what he says, it's true. Romans 10:17. "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." See, we have to know the Word of God and know that it is truth. Amen. Mark 5:36. "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid. Only believe.'" Only believe. He had to have that faith. Only believe. Because I am in your presence. Jesus is in his presence. He had to have that faith. When two or more are gathered in his name, he is here. Amen. He is here. Acts 10:34, "And then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Oh, of truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" He is. He is no respecter of persons. He speaks truth only. And it's truth that reigns. Amen. God gave his son, but wouldn't he give us? He gave us what we asked for, and that's because of Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things?" He wants to give us everything. And if he gave us his son, we wouldn't have given him. What wouldn't he give us? He would give us everything. Anything that we ask for, he would give it to us. Because he loves us so much. It's his love. You see, faith works by love. Isaiah 4, 6, 46:11, calling on ravenous bird from the east, the man that was executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, and it will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. What God has promised, he will do it. It will be accomplished. Amen? Amen. You can rest assured that. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where do I send it. What God has ordained, it will come to pass. And everything that God has planned for it will happen. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes. In Ezekiel 12:25, it says, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. The word of God speaks will come to pass, for he is holy and he is faithful. Amen. Amen. Faith in your heart, which is C. Luke 18:8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And Pastor Joshua, he's always telling us, well, you know what, a higher translation of this is that Jesus will come when he finds faith. He will find faith. I know that. Because almost all of us have faith. We have that faith. And he is coming soon. There's a testimony about a couple. And they're a really neat couple. They're a Christian couple. They had a small child, and you know, it was time for them to have another child. And they wanted to have another child, and you know, it was 2, 3, 4, 5, all of a sudden it was 10 years and no child. And they go, wow, you know, maybe we should adopt. So they started adoption papers, and they had put an adoption for 2 other kids. Well, during that time, she had gotten pregnant. Wouldn't you know it? So she is now pregnant. So now they're going to have 4 kids. But she is pregnant, and it's a boy. They come, and it's after a year, they're just in heaven. They're in hog heaven. They love it because of this child has just been a real blessing to them, this male child. Anyway, it turns out that this child was having some challenges. And they take it to the doctor, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, but your child has cancer of the brain. Wow. And everything for them just kind of stopped right then. And cancer. So what were they going to do? So they finally decided to have the surgery. And they had surgery, the young boy. And it was about, over a year, a little over a year now. And he was very uncomfortable, and she could see, the wife could see that he was very uncomfortable, and he was having a real challenge, and she was just starting to pray and pray and pray. Oh. She prayed so hard that, I mean, she just prayed. And I guess what happened is she said she saw a vision from the Lord. And the Lord just showed her, surrounded, the baby with angels. And she saw that vision with the baby surrounded with angels, and she was surrounded with angels. And she just felt, wow. She just felt so loved and appreciated and just everything. And because of God, he just loves everyone. And he loved that child. And so she let God, she said to God, she says, I know now that I'm supposed to let him go. So whatever you deem well enough, or whatever you desire, or whatever you decide, I'm okay with it, because I believe in you. And because of that, it goes on and on and on and on. And what happens is, after he goes into recovery, and it takes a difficult time, but there's about 30 days of recovery. And then the baby had to go through some kind of treatment. I think it was some kind of a chemical treatment for the brain. And I guess the doctor came and said, I'm sorry, but your son, his count, it was really low. It was like zero. And he says, I need to have your son at least come up to 500 was the count, I think. He says, I think your son needs to, his count needs to go up to 500. And they prayed. And they sought everybody. And 8 hours later, they ran the test again. They found out that this blood test, instead of being zero, like it was 8 hours ago, it was now 7,000. And everybody was just praising God and going, wow, that is awesome. Boy, oh boy. So she said, oh, she says, God just came through. And it was just so, so wonderful. And he blessed them. And then eventually the little boy went through an MRI. It took about 4 hours. And the technician came back and said, your son, there is no trace of cancer at all. Praise God. Praise God. No trace of cancer. Wow. You see, she had faith in Jesus. And she let go. She was strong enough to let go. And he responded. Acts 26:17. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And that's Paul right after his conversion. And the Lord just took him under his wing and said, I'm sanctifying those who are in me. Amen. In Romans 1:8, it says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, for your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Oh, the Romans were known for their faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. And then in Romans 10:8, it says, but what does it say? The world is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with one and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For a scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Amen. Because when you confess Jesus Christ and believe God that he raised him, that he raised his son Jesus from the dead, it says that you will be healed. You will be saved. Amen. You will be saved. There's that testimonies about a guy who was into trucks. And he had a facility, and he loved big trucks. And he was supporting his family. He had about 4 kids. And he loved these big trucks. Anyway, this guy came in with a logging truck. And he says, oh, by the way, before I leave, I need you to check this out. So he went under the truck, and the guy had already put a jack underneath the truck. And he went under the truck, and the jack slipped. And this 10,000-pound truck, the two wheels just right there with this engine just collapsed right on him. And he screamed. He screamed. He couldn't believe the pain that he was in. He said that he looked down and there was like less than an inch between him, between the concrete and the truck. His spine was crushed. He had severed his arteries in 5 places. He's damaged his spleen, his pancreas. Everything was just totaled. And he was just screaming in pain, and all of a sudden he said, Lord, Lord, cried out to the Lord God, because he was a Christian also. And he cried out to him, and he said to him, he said, Lord, help me, help me. And immediately he said, the pain left me. Wow. He said, the pain left me, and all of a sudden my body, I was gone, I was out of my body, and I could see up above, and I saw these two angels that were next to this guy, because this guy, the driver of the truck, came over to me as soon as I yelled out. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But these two guys, these two angels, huge angels, he says they were at least probably 8 foot high, but they lowered themselves and they were doing something underneath, but they weren't raising the truck. But they were doing something and they were helping him. So it was just amazing. And so he gets transported by ambulance, and all of a sudden he hears in the back of his mind, he hears this. He said, I could hear something. He said, I can take you now because you're going to die anyway. Or I can keep you. And you'll have to go through, and you'll have to work very hard to recover. He says, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to recover. I want my wife and kids. And so it was amazing. He went through this, and apparently he was in the hospital, and this guy came that he had met years and years ago. It was an evangelist, and this guy had the gift of healing. And he just laid his hands on. He said, this guy took authority, and because he lost most of his intestines, he said, this guy says, intestines grow back in Jesus' name. And then he said, when he touched him, he said he just felt a bolt of lightning or a bolt of electricity just going down and all the way down through his body and all the way through his stomach and stuff and intestine. It was amazing, he said. And all the way through. But it was a slow go. But what was amazing is the nurses were so amazed. They were just, because this guy had such a great attitude. Such a great attitude. And so he said his pancreas grew back, his spleen grew back, His arteries were normal. He said, normally, when you have five arteries severed like that, he said, you would have bled to death in minutes. He says, but I didn't bleed to death. So obviously those angels were not there just to hold him up. They were there because they were needed, and they were doing something to him. So, and then I think all the intestines had to be removed. And so now intestines were starting, and they thought he was going to lose weight. And then eventually somebody said, oh, you're going to pass away in a year, because you're not going to have any weight, because, you know, your intestines is where you get your nourishment from. And he said the intestines started to grow back. Everything was growing back. God was doing a miracle in his life, and he believed in God. It was just amazing. I was so touched by that. And he now has a ministry with his wife and kids, and he's doing really well. All because of these angels. And he believed in God. He believed in Jesus Christ. And there was a man, he was about 50 years old, and he was, he had a heart attack, and it was really, really, really bad. And they took him to the hospital, and I think they sedated him, and he was okay for a while. But all of a sudden, they had to transpond him, or they had to do the electrical shock on him. And they did this electrical shock on this guy a number of times, and they kept on doing it and doing it and doing it, and nothing would happen. And he said he just kind of left his body. He left his body, and all of a sudden, these two nurses were outside the door. They were discussing, and they were thinking, geez, what are they spending all this time? The guy's dead. He said he came back later to confront these two nurses, and they were just overwhelmed. They couldn't believe it. But anyway, it was really funny. But anyway, he goes up to heaven, and he said, I just felt this love, the embrace, this love that was so incredible. And I just went through this white light. And it was just amazing. And through all of these, it looked like flowers and grass and things. He says they were actually praising God. It was amazing, he said. It was amazing. He said, oh. And then he said, where's my wife? So there's your wife right there. And so he sees her, and he just looks at her and just remembers all the things that he felt for his wife, and all the things, and all the children they had together, and just everything put together. And the Lord asked him, he says, do you want to stay here, or do you want to go back? He said, I want to go back. So my wife needs me. I love her very much. I need my kids. They need me. And so he says, okay. So I guess throughout his recovery, he had to be, I guess he had to be transponded or electrocuted again or whatever it is, whatever they do. But each time, he said, the Lord would ask him, he says, are you sure you don't want to come back with me? And he said, yes, I'm positive. And he said, I want to be with my wife. So it was just amazing. So eventually, he went back down, and he was healed, and they healed him. And the Lord just touched his life. And he said, every day, once a day, I try to witness so one person a day. I try to witness to one person a day. That is one thing. And he was just so, so humble, and what a neat couple they were. It was really positive. It was really a neat thing. In Galatians 2:20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. No longer who I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes. You see, I gave my life to Jesus, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. Christ lives in us. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." See, we're all sons of God because of our commonality, because we believe in Jesus Christ, because of the faith in Jesus that we have. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." It's our faith in him that we have this boldness, because we're in his presence. When we're in his presence, everything, there is boldness that we have. We have everything in him. So one thing I wanted to say is that in preparing for this, it was one of these things that you really start to understand your walk with the Lord. And I know the end times, or the end times is coming. We're in the end times. And I was telling my wife, I said, you know what? All that really matters is Jesus Christ. We have Jesus and we have each other. That's all that really matters. And if we have that because we are one, and if we have Jesus and each other, that's all we need. Because we have Jesus. Jesus is everything to us. It says, how do you get faith? Romans 12:3. For I say, through grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So how do we get faith? God deals it. He deals each a measure of faith to all of us. In Matthew 17:20, it says, so Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. See, all we need is that little seed, right? Amen. All we need is that seed, and we can move mountains because we have the faith of God. Faith. And nothing will be impossible to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.